How y'all doing? It's a beautiful day, isn't it? No bumper. Pastor Jody's been sick, and I know we're all praying for her to get well. Amen. And so I thought I'd come up here today. God gave me a word just a short while ago for the women, and when Jody's like, "Can you preach?" I'm like, "Sure." And God said, "This is the word for the whole house." So you ready? All right, if you would just turn to me, and read 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9. All right, you ready? "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed." Amen? What a word is that? That's a great word. And before we get started, let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful day, God. We look around at your creation and we marvel and we're in awe at your artist's hand, God, and just your love for us. And we thank you that today you're going to give us a word that will encourage us, that will change us, that will help us to get to know you better, Lord. We commit this time to you today, Lord. We tell you we love you. Thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so here comes the good stuff. How many of you know here that God loves you and that he created you for purpose, plan, and destiny to glorify him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light? Come on. How many of you know that the King of the universe died for you on a cross and was resurrected 3 days later to give you eternal life with him? Yes. Do y'all know that? Yeah. You guys, he chose us for relationship, for discipleship, and for influence. He chose us for relationship as his predestined sons and daughters. From that very first encounter when we say yes to Jesus, to walking it out every day. It's a lifelong journey. For discipleship, as armor-wearing warriors in the kingdom of God. Come on. Yes. With our belt of truth, with our breastplate of righteousness, with our shoes of peace, our shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. We are called to encourage each other in our walks. We do that by studying the Word of God together, by eating together, by praying for one another, by laying on the hands for healing, by worshiping together, by building each other up. This is how we strengthen our own faith and the faith of others. And we're chosen for influence by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're called to engage the world around us and draw those far from God closer to him. And as we walk in the gifts that God has given to each of us, do I hear each of us? There is not one of you in this room that is not bestowed gifts from the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? How many of y'all know that you have gifts from the Holy Spirit? Come on. And if you didn't raise your hand, just know that he's given you gifts. You've yet to discover them. You've yet to find out that God has poured something in you that the world needs. And by the power of his Spirit, we are compelled to tell people about Jesus. To tell them about his love, his grace, his forgiveness. And we do that best by just telling our stories to the people that he's put in our path. How exciting is that? But that's not quite the word that I have for you today. You guys, if we're honest, most of you in this room have heard the similar words that I just said. Amen? Most of you have been told in your Christian life that God loves you, that he has purpose for you, that he has plans for you. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've been told, even in troubled times, even in hard times, God is with you. You've heard James 1, right? Have you? "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience or perseverance," another translation, all right. "But patience, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete," what? lacking nothing. Come on, you know the word, let's go. And you've heard it preached from Romans 5, yes? Not only that, but we glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce what? Perseverance. And perseverance what? And character what? Yes, and then we're told, don't forget, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Let's not forget Romans 8, where it says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. You've been encouraged from Philippians 4:13 that says, what? I can do all things through Christ who? Amen. And let's not forget everyone's favorite, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And as we come to know the Lord a little more, we're reminded, don't forget 12 and 13, and then you will call on me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Woo! You guys, we have the wealth of the word at our disposal, the sword of the Spirit to wage war daily, to walk in victory no matter what. Am I right?
Yes.
That's the way it's supposed to be. Whew. But the word that I want to speak into your life today is born out of the harsh realities of life. When life throws you a curveball that you didn't see coming. Anybody relate? And then another curveball. And then another. Until you find yourself waiting for the other shoe to drop. You guys, I have never known what that is like in my life. It's not an emotion that I could relate to until this past year. Circumstances in my life changed drastically. My wonderful, crazy, beautiful, messy, desperate for Jesus everyday life took me into a season of heartbreak that I've never known before and that I never imagined I'd find myself in. And of course, I know what the word says, right? We go to it for truth. We go to it for strength. We go to it for correction. We go to it for peace and joy. But these particular circumstances brought with them a pain that I have found hard to navigate. It's felt like the fiery darts of the wicked one just keep coming and keep coming. And then when I got my footing, boom, out of left field, another fiery dart, taking me by surprise. So a couple of Fridays ago, I was in my office at home and I was just having some time with the Lord. I was leaning into Jesus, wanting to hear a word for our ladies the next day. We were having a brunch. And as I was leaning into his grace and tender mercies, just like what Hebrews 4:16 commands us, let us therefore come boldly to his throne of grace that we could obtain mercy and to find grace in time of need. That's the kind of leaning I was doing. I was in this posture of humility that was born out of sheer exhaustion and this emotional haze that honestly I've been in for a very long time now. But God, right? And as I was laying there, literally prostrate on the ground, it was just quiet. And let me say this. There is nothing wrong with coming before the Lord and asking why. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, this has been a long season, Lord. How much longer? There's nothing wrong. Job, he did not sin in his anger, but man, he had a lot of questions for God, didn't he? He had a lot to say. There's nothing wrong with that. God can handle it. He is our Father. He wants us to come to him. But in that particular moment of where I was at, none of that came out of my mouth. All I could do in that moment was praise him and worship him and thank him for his love and his goodness and his faithfulness and his majesty and his power and all the great things that God is. I found myself just worshiping him. I couldn't do anything else. I had nowhere else to go and nothing else to do. I thanked him for being my Azer. Do we know what that is, right? We've talked about that already. Azer means savior, rescuer. I thanked him for being my Azer because he rescued me and he saved me. And he's the one worthy of my blessing and my worship. So sometimes when we hit that place, there's nothing else to do, nothing else to say, but to recount the truth of how good God is, period. Amen? And in that moment of quietness and just speaking out how much I loved him and how thankful I was and how beautiful he was, Psalm 103 flooded my heart. Anyone know it? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Anybody know it? And all that is within me. Come on. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who fills your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And somewhere in the midst of just recounting that back to the Lord, I learned that scripture back when I was in college because he saved me out of so much, so much. And I've never forgotten that scripture, and it's something that it's beautiful to go back to. Do you know that the Word of God is alive and that I can mean something and speak to you differently every time you read it? Come on. That's why we read it every day. That's why we go over the scriptures every day. That's why we read the same thing over and over and over again, not only to get it into our hearts, but it can speak to us differently every time. It can go deeper and deeper into our soul and transform us. And somewhere in the midst of expressing my gratitude to the Lord, he said to me, "Baby girl, you are not dead, and I am not done with you." Yes, woo, yeah, that's right. There's a worship song, right? If you're not dead, he's not done. Greater things are still to come. Sorry, that was bad. Shouldn't have done that. But that's the song that came to my head. That's just flooded my head. So y'all, this is the word I want to speak over you today. God is not done writing your story. Come on. No matter what it looks like, no matter the state of your mind, your heart, or even the state of your soul, let me encourage you, come boldly to the throne of grace. Sit in his loving, all-consuming presence and take a posture of humility and gratitude. And just recount the beautiful attributes of God. Thank him for his goodness and faithfulness and for the fact that he saved you and he rescued you. Amen? Amen. And when you thank him for saving you and rescuing you, guess what? He's going to remind you that he's going to continue to do it day after day, month in and month out, year in and year out. He is going to continue to rescue you and he's going to continue to save you because he is that good of a God. He does it. Amen. He's faithful. He does it to heal us, to mature us, to strengthen us, and to sanctify us. And that is the heart of Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ's return. It's a sanctification message, really. But it's also a message that when we read, we know that God will continue to be there for us every day, no matter how much we fall, no matter the circumstances we're in, no matter how dark it is around us, no matter how sick we are, no matter what's going on in our families, that he is not done. And that is the word I want to speak into your hearts today and over you, that God is not done with you. You're not dead. God's not done. Amen. It's a short but powerful message. Amen. So we have our annual meeting today, and this is the word that God wants to plant in your hearts. And that last song that y'all sang, worship team, whoo, that was incredible. Amen. It just lent itself into today's message. Freely abandoned for him, completely surrendered with your hands in the air. Would you do me the honor of reading this together with me? 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9. Would you do me that honor as we close? You ready? Come on now. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. That's weak, you guys. Come on. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Hallelujah. He's not done with us, you guys. We have more life to live for his honor and glory, for relationship, discipleship, and influence. He's called us to that. Let's get going. Amen. Well, if there's anyone in here who doesn't understand that thought of a relationship with God, we want to see you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves you. Like I said, he died for you. He died on a cross to forgive every sin, past, present, and future. And he rose on the third day so that you could have eternal life with him. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loves you. And if you were the last person on this planet, he would do it just for you. So if you would like to come to know Jesus, I'll go over to the cross today. Anybody else who wants to go over there and pray with me for someone? If you need prayer for any reason, please come on over. But if you have yet to say yes to Jesus, do not wait. Today is the day of your salvation, because we don't know what tomorrow brings. But he has great things in store for us, y'all. And as we go into our annual meeting in the next little while, it's going to be exciting to hear what God is doing in this house, to be excited to see what the future holds and what he's speaking to us. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you for encouraging us that if we're not dead, you aren't done with us, Lord. You have so much more in store for each one of us. Let us worship you. Let us praise you. Let us just tell you how amazed we are by who you are. And let us watch you do that which only you can do. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.